dual purposing my weekly podcast and adding as a video, and I'm going to be using it on two of my channels, on the Pacentric weekly newsletter and the andonly.com health and fitness, because I feel that this is a topic that can help people that are looking to achieve their goals in any part of their life, professionally or personally. I was inspired by a very insightful episode of the Ed Milette show on a 4-hour drive from my daughter's college a few weeks ago. I couldn't wait to get home, listen again, take notes, and share it with the world because I just felt that the guest, who is Leila Hormozi, just hit on so many great points. Now, there's one that I don't quite agree with her on, and I did actually message her to ask a little bit more about that. Now, whether she'll actually respond to any message, probably not, but I thought I'd give it a shot anyway, and then I can clarify that down the line. Because I had just written a post kind of opposite to that whole thinking. But mostly it's about entrepreneurs. So Layla and her husband Alex are very successful entrepreneurs, investors, and philanthropists. Layla only fairly recently started getting into going on social media and offering content. But Ed, Layla, and Alex were having dinner, I guess a few weeks before that podcast was recorded. And Ed was just so blown away by Layla's self-awareness and thought she'd be a good guest for the show. Now, most of her work involves helping entrepreneurs, like with their investments in companies and building their businesses. So much of the talk is about the traits of successful entrepreneurs. But the points discussed and the advice that she gives and that Ed Milette adds himself are relevant to anyone looking to reach their highest potential, whether it's professional or personal. So they start out talking about the traits of a failing entrepreneur. So according to Hormozi, arrogance would be the number one trait. So unsuccessful entrepreneurs are aware of their strengths, but not of their weaknesses. Looking back on numerous one-to-one sessions that she had done with entrepreneurs that she was working with, she looked back and she found that the ones who failed rated themselves higher than she would have rated them. And the ones that were successful tended to rate themselves lower than she would have rated them. Number two, they lack the ability to manage themselves, their physical health, their marriages, their personal life, their team. They come in late, they don't mind their time. So because they are inconsistent, the business is inconsistent. They're controlled by feelings, not by their values. So I found that to be a very great point, because one of the things I learned by being involved with the one thing goal setting process, and I'll put all the links into the web page that this is on, is the first step is to define your core values so that you ensure that everything that you're doing is in line with what your core values are. And this comes up a few times during that podcast. So she says, to succeed, you must be strong-minded with strong beliefs loosely held and the ability to adapt, take feedback, examine data, and change tactics. So I find that to be true in business and also in achieving your personal goals. So if you have your strong beliefs and what you want for your life, and then you come across something that's showing you that perhaps that's not the best track, being able to pivot or be flexible, reassess the situation, and then redetermine your plan. Then they discuss when entrepreneurs get complacent too early. According to Milette, in a startup phase, entrepreneurs play scared. They work their tail off, they learn, they grow, and they have a ton of humility, but too many want to get over that phase too soon. So it's the learning phase. It's the startup phase, right? A lot of people realize that you're not going to see real success for quite a while, right? Because you're just getting started. You're testing the waters. You're learning what's going to work. The more unsuccessful entrepreneurs spend money prematurely. They take time off too often. They believe the press clippings too soon. He respects Hormozy and her husband, Alex, because they always ask questions and they always seem eager to learn from others and always to like build on their knowledge and their skill set. He said, "The older I get, the more I realize how little I know and how capable I am of still making bad decisions. Because sometimes you make decisions based on limited information, like the information that you have at the time, or something just goes wrong, like circumstances may change. So again, you need to be able to pivot, and you need to be able to see that it is possible to make a mistake. Like everybody makes mistakes, and the successful ones learn from them and then proceed on. You learn to ask more questions, get more information, and consider other options." Hormozy says she doesn't want to invest in anyone that hasn't been slapped in the face. They have learned that they can make decisions based on the right things and still have things go wrong. Other leaders think they're just lucky or invincible when they haven't had that happen. "You can't play God in your business and get drunk on that," she says. "Some only let people tell them the good things and how great they are and punish them for saying anything else." Layla respecting herself with the choices she makes. She says, "I want to know at the end of the day or the end of my life that I'm doing things daily that show respect for myself and the choices I make." So again, that's going back to what your core values are. And when you're making decisions, you're making sure that it's in line with your core values so that you then can respect yourself in that. So when something does go wrong, you still know that you've done the right thing or you held the same values or stuck with the mission. So like a business will have core values as much as the individuals in that business. And it's important if you have a business to communicate that with the people that you're working with. So she says a lot of people blame others. They leave a business because this person is toxic. Now, sometimes there is abusive situations, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about when people don't take accountability for what has gone wrong. They may have made a wrong decision that wasn't in line with what they wanted and should take accountability for that, because otherwise you're not going to grow from that situation. She asks herself, "When I am in this situation or around this person, do I respect myself more or less?" So examples she gave is like being out at a bar with a bunch of women and some are hitting on married men. Like that's not something she'd condone, so she would not put herself in that situation. In a business situation, she makes sure that the employees that she hires embody the company's values. So if she had hired people that did not show that, did not appreciate or have the same goals, because they're like a quite, you know, they have very high goals for themselves. They work very, very hard. Some people would find that a toxic work environment, while other people would thrive in that. So it doesn't mean that one or other is wrong. They're just not aligned. So this is important when you're hiring, when you're choosing business partners, even like suppliers, other people that you're working with. And on a personal standpoint, this is very important with the people you spend your time with, businesses that you hire to do work for you. You know, being aligned, sometimes it's more important than others. But in order to reach your highest goals, these things have to be more in line with what your core values are so that you can stand by the decisions that you make. In her marriage, her husband supports her and promotes her to enable her to succeed. So she makes sure at all levels of her relationships that it's in line with her values and with what her mission in life is, whether it's personal or professional. She says at the end of the day, it's about your values and your expectations. So as I said before, she only hires people that see it as, I quote, "I will become a champion if I work here," rather than those who would see it as a toxic environment. Now, I've worked in a variety of different situations. So when I was working at the Financial Printers, it was a very high-pressure situation, not for everyone. And I was responsible for hiring at times. And I knew I'd made mistakes sometimes when I hired someone that had never worked in that type of atmosphere before. Like, some people had to work third shift. So I learned in time that if someone had never worked third shift, it was not a good idea to hire them because they wouldn't know what it was like. It is very hard. So you need to find people that thrive in that kind of atmosphere. And when I had when we had the accountancy practice in Ireland, I tried to make sure that we had like our mission statement, our policies, everything reflected like what our goals were, what we were aiming to achieve, the mission, the vision, that everybody knew that. And because it was kind of a new idea, and also we were a small accountancy firm, so some people probably thought I was crazy applying these big corporate kind of ideas on a small accountancy firm. But I thought that it was really important. And then I always had my eye on, you know, where we wanted to be with this. So, and also, like, when you're doing assessments of people, it's important that they understand, you know, what your expectations are. So unless you have all of these things written available to people, and also on a regular basis are reminding people of this, whether it's through signage, whether it's through newsletters or meetings or things like that that you have. Layla says, if I can't show up for this work, for this podcast, you know, for whatever it is she's going to do, working with a trainer, going to the gym, if she can't show up fully, if she doesn't respect herself. Then they talk about conquering your fears. So Hermosi says, fear is always present when I'm doing something worth doing. Fear is just the unknown, and we tend to catastrophize it. So she was telling how she did have panic attacks in the past, and it would be when she was judging herself and when she wanted to run away from whatever it was that she was afraid of. But then she learned that it was showing her how small her life could be. So if you're faced with a challenge and you're afraid and you back off, you're never going to reach your highest potential. Like, you need to look at that fear and push yourself to do it anyway. She says, if I try to run from it, it is controlling me. So when she saw this happening, she said she read like every original psychology book she could get her hands on, and she realized she was running in the wrong direction. So she said, I needed to run towards it. Every time I feel scared, I just lean in and immerse myself in it. She says, we are going to be friends with fear today. So that's like, I guess, a mantra that she has for herself when she's starting to feel fear. She said people don't think that there's fear present in her life. They see her and her husband. Now they're very public people. They're very successful people. She comes over very confidently. And people just think that she doesn't have fear in her life. But she says, I have fear, but I also have the courage, which is to act despite fear. She's trained herself to realize that she can separate her behavior from her feelings. I can be terrified but still act. So like having fear before stepping up onto a stage for a speaking engagement, you feel that fear, but then you know, I can still speak. And this is something that I've had a lot of times, because I'm always pushing myself to do more things. And there are times when I thought like, am I just crazy for putting myself in this situation? Like before a speaking engagement or singing. Now I'm doing, at 60 years old, I'm doing hip hop, dance, fitness, and went to a master class where I was the oldest, least fit, least experienced instructor, but I went out there with all the like top people in our dance fitness format, because I wanted that experience and to push myself that far. So that was a whole weekend, and throughout the weekend I was kind of like, what am I doing? But I was around people with the same values as me that would support me and push me, and you know, nothing really bad was going to happen to me. I used to do taekwondo, and I used to love going to the competitions, and I'd sign up, and then I'd get there and think, what have I gotten myself into? Should I get out of here? Because I'm 5'2". Again, not the fittest, especially at that time. I was good at doing the patterns where you just do like a routine by yourself on the, and they give you points based on your form and that you remember all the moves and that, you know, how well you sort of convey the whole vibe of it, right? But I never did as well with that. And I thought maybe it was because I wasn't as tall and slim, you know, as if, so it didn't look as good. But also did some sparring, and on two occasions ended up with black noses. No, almost a busted nose one time, because I was up against a 6-foot-tall woman from the Netherlands who just kept punching me in the nose. And that was the last competition I did. But I also did a long cycle challenge for like 60 miles. Along the Irish coast, and it was beautiful, and I was so proud of myself when I finished it. But, you know, so that's an example of some of the crazy things I pushed myself to do. But it's like taught me that there's pretty much anything that I can do. So then people say to me, like, Anne, I could never do the things you do. And I'm like, that's not true. You know, you make a choice.